Today we're going to look at the wonderful gifts of God to us. The wonderful gifts of God to us. There's various passages in today's message. That's why you have a handout. If you don't have a bulletin, you probably would like to have one. It'll be helpful. There is a handout of the various passages on that. The wonderful gifts of God to us. There's a story about a father who was sitting at his desk. He was going over what fathers do, bills and finances and the whatnot. As he was going over these things, his son comes up to him and he looks at his dad and he says, "Dad, do you want to see my Christmas list?" Dad's like, "Well, not really, not at this moment. I'm a little too busy, son. Why don't you come back later?" The son, who was paying attention to his father, recognized that his dad had a bit of a stress on him, and he asked his dad, "Is everything okay? Is everything all right?" Dad looks at him and says, telling you the truth, son, I don't think we're going to have much of a Christmas this year. I just can't afford to get you all the gifts that I'd like to get for you." The son, not really paying attention to his dad's statement, because after all, he wants his dad to see his list. He says, "Dad, will you look at my list now?" Realizing he wasn't going to get any peace, he says, "Okay, let me see the list, son." And on the very first line of the list for Christmas, the son simply wrote, "I'd like to have one day a month for the next year with my dad." Realizing how shallow he felt regarding the presents that he couldn't buy, he looked at his son and said, "Son, I was very mistaken. We're going to have a wonderful Christmas after all." In this message today, we're going to look at a list of gifts that God has given to us, very much like that of the sons. It's not a material list of things that God's going to grant to you and I on this earth or try to give us a greater blessing in material-wise. But instead, these are gifts that if you're not paying attention, you may not notice they've been given to you or that they've been given to others. But they are the greatest gifts that God can provide. And so we're going to look at those passages today as we focus on the Christmas season and ultimately Jesus, who is our greatest gift, correct? We're going to look at this gift that God gives. So the first one we find here is found in Ephesians 4, 7 through 8. And it's the gift from God that are given to us through Jesus by His sacrifice. Here it is. "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when He ascends on high, He led the captive of a host of captives, and He gave gifts to men." He gave gifts to men. This is one of those that we recognize this is a gift to you and I. First of all, Jesus is the very gift that we are given on Christmas. If an individual does not know Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior, then this time of year does not have the meaning it ought to have for such a person. Those who don't have Jesus as their gift don't know how to fully celebrate this time of year. Now, I'm not saying you can't enjoy this time of year with loved ones. I'm not saying you can't give gifts to one another and enjoy each other's company. That's all well and good, and those are good things to have in life. If you have an abundance of family with you, or children, or grandchildren, or parents with you, and you can spend that time together, then that's a gift, isn't it? Those of us who have lost loved ones, we know what kind of gift that is when they're gone especially. But that's not the same as knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's not the same as receiving the gift of all eternity, the greatest treasure to ever be displayed in creation. That's Jesus. He was given to us. And when you have Him as your gift, then He gives in turn gifts to you. The gift of the Holy Spirit, for one. What a wonderful gift that God has given to us. And Jesus had to leave this earth, and He was going to go back up and to be with the Father as He was getting ready to ascend. He says, "I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send another who is like Me to be with you." The difference is the one who is like Jesus is the Holy Spirit, and He dwells within us. He doesn't just walk beside us. He is with us wherever we go. We as Christians have the Holy Spirit living in us. Thus, everywhere you tread, everywhere you trod, everywhere you go is holy ground. Have you felt that way as you present Christ to the world? That you are holy ground? The Holy Spirit is a gift given to you and I in belief of who Jesus is, receiving that salvation. But He also, through the Holy Spirit, gives us other gifts as well. And we're going to go over that a little bit more later. I remember years ago, Michelle and I had decided that we were going to emphasize, well, the birthday of Christ over everything else that was known as Christmas. Now, I'm the one who kind of grew up more so, but Michelle also, where Santa Claus was often mentioned and uttered in all the right times of the year, sometimes not in the right times of the year, throughout the year. And my parents, especially my father, really liked to lean on Santa Claus. He was putting Santa, from Santa well into my 20s on gifts. It's like, oh, listen, Dad, I walked down the stairs when I was 6 years old, and Paul was putting together the very gift that you said was from Santa the next morning. Right? I know Santa didn't exist from that time on. I had accepted the reality, and that's fine because I got gifts. What did it matter if it was from Santa or my parents, as long as I got gifts? And so Santa was never a big thing to me personally, and nor was it to Michelle. So when the kids were younger, we decided, you know what? We're not going to really talk about Santa Claus as much as we're going to emphasize Christ in Christmas. You know what's so funny about all that? As we tried to nurture that spiritual aspect of their life, somehow, some way, the notion and understanding and comprehension of Santa Claus made it into Christmas anyways. It just does. It's the way it is. And so what I was emphasizing was the spiritual aspect of Christmas. The real meaning, and that's what we look at when God gives us gifts. They're spiritual gifts. They're wonderful gifts. They're gifts that are going to enable us to be more for His glory and for His kingdom. So, God gives us gifts that are given to us by way and through Jesus Christ, our Savior. But secondly, the gift of faith is given to us by God for salvation. We find that in Ephesians 2:8. Here it is. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, it's a bit of a wordy this, but at its crux it's this. The fact that you have the ability to believe, the fact that you have faith, that is a gift. I'm not going to say it's a gift given to some and not to others. I do believe that's out there for anyone to grab a hold of. As the Holy Spirit is revealing Christ to the world through Christians and through His Spirit, just emphasizing the need for a Savior in the hearts of people who are lost, I do believe that the fact that we have faith at all is the gift of God. Left to ourselves, we'd be groping around in darkness. Left to ourselves, we would be looking at pagan gods as to follow them. But Christ came to us, and by way of His salvation, the Holy Spirit points us that direction and then enables us to believe. Have you believed in Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior? Well, that's because you were given the gift of faith. Let me encourage you, if you don't have the gift of faith, if you don't believe in Christ, then please ask God to give you that gift. I don't think He'll deny you if you're seeking it out. He'll give you that gift. He loves to share His Son with humanity. He loves to glorify His Son for the salvation He gave. He loves to emphasize His Son as the means of salvation and the only way in which one can get to Him. Faith, it's something that's God-given that draws you to Him, that you can accept the truth when you encounter the truth. There was a story of a young Joseph Stalin. Many people don't know this, but when Joseph Stalin was a young guy in the late 1800s, he went to the Russian Orthodox Seminary to become a priest. And as he went in there, he began to learn, he began to read books, and one of the things that crept into his reading was what was considered unauthorized reading. after it got known that he's reading these books that are not Christian-based or Christian-oriented or even good for society as a whole, he was confronted by many of those in the seminary. He refused to listen, and eventually he was left to, well, be expelled from the school. Well, the moment he became expelled to the school, he embraced those books even more, and he adopted both Marxism and Lenin ideals. As Joseph Stalin rose to power, the thing he emphasized the most was those ideals. And what did it produce? Instead of a man producing godly results in the way of a ministry, he produced a dictatorship that ended up being one of the bloodiest periods in the time of Russian history and maybe even parts of the world. He's known for not only killing people at a whim, but having people killed if he even thought they didn't like him. And he even had people who helped him rise to power. He had them killed too if he thought they crossed him. This he did for two reasons: to secure his own power and to solidify his ideals of communism for the country. After his death, his daughter, who was present at his death, recounted the last moment she remembers of her father. She said, as he was there lying dead, he was getting ready to die, his last breath, he got up and shook his fist at God and then died. For some reason, there was something deep within Stalin where he hated God. He was angry with God. And that anger worked its way out in everything he touched in his life. What did he produce? He produced a dictatorship that was nothing more than a venomous rage against God and his creation. Well, in the end, we recognize that communism has its faults and its failures, and it didn't last through the century in which he served. Here it is. Joseph Stalin, a man who thought he was going to go into ministry, instead left it because he did not have that gift of faith. He did not have that gift. And instead, he chose to be the enemy to God that he was for his entire life. We know what's sad about that? He's lost for eternity. He's lost for eternity. Here's a man who actually had a potentially good start, only to end that he's going to be separated with God. What did shaking his fist at God with his dying breath really prove? Nothing more than he is a mortal man who will one day stand and account for what he did, and the fact that he rejected Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let me encourage you that next time you're in prayer, thank God that you have been given the gift of faith. And if you haven't been given that gift, beg God for it, and he will give it to you. He loves to glorify his son. Third, as we look at the gifts that God gives to us, well, these are gifts that are given for the common good of God's people. He gives us many gifts for the common good of the church. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We're all given the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're guaranteed as believers in Christ. But within that, we're all given the measure of the Holy Spirit to do various ministries. This is one of those things that is a little foreign idea to many of us here in the Western culture, but was very much embraced in the time of the Middle East, that when you are called into salvation in Jesus Christ, you're not to be quiet about it. There's no such thing as a private faith in the Middle East. There's no such thing as quietly serving Christ. No, in the Middle Eastern times, when you came to know Jesus, everyone knew about it because you made sure everyone knew about it. And our faith is a faith that's meant to be shared. It's meant to be lived together. We are given a variety of gifts. We're given the ability to preach and teach and prophesy, the ability to even do miracles and healings if that is what the will of God is, the ability to speak in tongues. How many of you are ready for that? There's ability. There's some people I know, they're just an outright prayer warrior. Others who have a giving heart that seems to have no end. Others who know how to give you the right word at the right time for the right moment. There are so many gifts that are listed and not listed. These are all given to us, not so that we can hoard them for ourselves, but instead to be used for the common good, for the furtherance of the gospel, for the glory of Jesus, for our growth. Scripture teaches us that God provides for his people leaders so that they can help encourage, but also equip the saints for ministry. We're not to hold this back from people. We're to share. I'm thinking of times, you know, there are a lot of moms out there who on Christmas Day, and this is really an older thought, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's still going on today. You know, those gifts that mom got at Christmas time, especially the ones that she got from hubby, right? What were they? A new toaster. Yeah, did you see the gleam in her eye when she opened up that new toaster? How about that new ironing board? Right? You know what? He made her life a little bit easier this year. He got her a microwave. And all the while, she's smiling because actually it is going to help, right? These things are going to help her in the long run as mom, as wife, as whatever. They're very practical gifts, aren't they? But what is the thing that is generally at play when mom opens a practical gift at Christmas? It's this. Everyone's going to get to use it. Everyone's going to get advantage of this. Everyone's going to be able to share in it because it's for the common good of the household. Poor mom. Poor mom. I mean, that's just the way moms are. You know, nobody wants to play with dad's tie, so that doesn't matter, right? That gets that ubiquitous tie that everyone gets at Christmas. Well, that's how it is for God. He gives us a bunch of gifts, not so we can have it for ourselves or put them up on a shelf or put them in a picture frame and enjoy them. No, these gifts are to be utilized, to be applied, to be shared with one another. That's why it's so important to be individuals who come together regularly at church and worship together. You have been given gifts. They are there for everyone to enjoy regularly. So let me encourage you, if you have certain gifts, use them for his glory. Use them for his kingdom, not just here at the church, but in your daily lives as well. Use them often, because ultimately speaking, it's for the furtherance of the glory of Christ and for those who are a part of his church. And when you do, when you share your gifts, you in turn receive many blessings as well, because that gift will grow. It'll become mature through its usage. Apply them in your life. Another thing we can look at as gifts from God is that the fruit of the Spirit are gifts for righteous living. The fruit of the Spirit is fruit of the Spirit are gifts for righteous living. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. It's one of those fun passages. It's a list that gets rambled off pretty quick, you know. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. This is one of those things I would hope that we could all take a moment and memorize within our life. By the way, fruit of the Spirit are not spiritual gifts, right? They're different from a spiritual gift. However, the fruit is still a gift. It's given to us. Any of us, by our own nature, are like that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Do we have that on our own? And if we do, can we really brag that they're to the fullest they can be within us? You see, the fruit of the Spirit is, again, singular, Spirit, not spirits. It's from the Holy Spirit. And these are the characteristics that are of God himself, implanted within you and I, planted so deep within us that as we walk this earth and grow in our faith, these become evident in us to those around us. And so when you're going through a difficult time and you seem to have this unbelievable peace about you, people are going to say, how can you handle that the way you're handling that? That is your opportunity to tell people why. It's because of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, what's that? Oh, let me tell you how you can have that. How are you able to love that guy who keeps berating you? How can you be kind to people who are insulting you? How can you do that? Well, because that's a gift. It needs to be nurtured and cared for and applied, but it is a gift. And as you grow in your faith, you will see the fruit of the Spirit expand. And one of the things that we can do to make that happen is to apply that in our lives daily. How do we do that? We feed our hearts, our very beings, with the things of God. Remember years ago, one particular Christmas, we decided that we wanted to get the kids all kind of like matching type Bibles. And so we went out and we found Bibles and we gave them each a Bible that year. Why? Did we think that they were going to read through it studiously? No. Did we think that they were going to just, you know, absorb everything from that, from the moment we gave it to them to the moment it was falling apart? No. And some of them did end up falling apart. Why is it that we would give such a gift? It's not like we don't have Bibles around the house. You can go into my office. I probably got about 35 Bibles sitting up there, probably about 20 different translations. I could have just given them one of those. Why would we go out of our way to make sure we had a Bible for them with their name on it? Because we wanted to promote in them godly living. We wanted to promote in them a desire to want to read the Word of God, to nurture the character of God within them. What are we doing in one another's life to nurture one another in the admonition of the Lord? Because the fruit of the Spirit is a hallmark aspect of who we are as Christians, who we are to be as Christians in this world. Yes, that is, the fruit of the Spirit truly is a gift given to you and I. Another thing we look at as we look at the gifts that God gives us and how wonderful they are, is we're also to see that in 1 Corinthians, we are to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts of God. Earnestly desire it. Now, Paul writes in 14:1, 1 Corinthians, pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Now, I could go on for a long time, but many of us recognize, if you're paying attention, that I just skipped over what is called the love chapter in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13. Right? Why? Because that is important to understand. Paul was actually arguing about gifts and the nature by which we use them and apply them for one another, to one another, and for the kingdom of God. And one of the things that was coming up was, oh, those who were bragging about having more gifts or a better gift than the other one. And that's a funny little thing to me that we'd brag about anything that's given to us. What did you have? What do you have that God did not give you to begin with? Your very height, your very capabilities, your very ability to do anything in this life is a gift of God when you were born with it. And then if you nurture it with talent, that too is a gift from God that you're able to do that. It's also a gift for God that you actually got up out of your bed this morning and you took a breath. That's a gift from God too. So when we have people who brag about, you know, their stature, their status, their wonderfulness, we get there and we go, well, you know, God granted you those things. That's wonderful. Not sure why you're bragging about all that. But then these guys were starting to brag about the spiritual things. You know, 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church was a Greek pagan culture. I mean, it was Sin City before there was such a thing as Sin City. It had so much culture. It had so much debasedness. And these people are living in the middle of all that. And they've been pulled out of that. When Paul came and started a church, they came to know Jesus as their Savior and get pulled out of that. And now they're this group of people in the middle of all that's going on, and they begin to brag about their, well, arrival to things. And Paul's like, you think you're all that, huh? You think you're all that? You got a group over here bragging about speaking in tongues. By the way, that's a gift of God. You didn't have that ability before you knew Jesus. And by the way, not everybody's going to get that gift, no matter what a Pentecostal tells you today. If someone comes up to you and says, you haven't spoken in tongues, you cannot be saved, that's a lie. Not everyone's given the gift of tongues. Not everyone's going to have that ability. Not everybody's going to have the ability to preach. Not everybody's going to have the ability to teach. Not everybody's going to have the ability to do anything that God doesn't want them to do. God gives the gifts as he so chooses, as we looked earlier. He distributes them to us for the benefit of others. And Paul's like, after all this, let me just tell you this. There are gifts you should desire more than other gifts. The gift to be able to speak forthfully the things of God clearly as instruction over those who want to babble about and no one knows what they've said. There are better gifts. Desire those spiritual gifts. Desire them earnestly. Because why? Those gifts that are like that do not bring attention to you. They bring attention to your Christ. Yet there are some gifts that can accidentally bring attention to you if you're not careful. And that's what was going on in Corinth. They were using these gifts to draw attention to themselves. And Paul's like, no. There's a better way here. There's a better way. God gives us these gifts, so earnestly desire. If you don't have what you know as a spiritual gift, then ask God why you don't know that already. And have him reveal it to you. We are not called to come into the church of God and do nothing. He wants to give us gifts. He desires for us to use them. He wants us to be active in the things of him. And when we know our gifts, use them. And don't be jealous, though maybe desire them, but don't be jealous about them. The other gifts, because you need to first flourish in the gifts you're given that Christ gives to you. I remember years ago when I was just this little Jimmy. And I was outside in our driveway. And our driveway, our house was on a hill. Now, it's not like this hill. This is a nice meandering hill that kind of goes around and around up. And no, our hill was, there's the street, there's the driveway, there's the landing pad. And our house was a Victorian house on the hill next to that. So whenever I played basketball, there was a stone wall right there. I can't tell you how many times I'd take a shot, the ball will hit that stone wall in a funky way, and it would go flying. And I'd be racing it down four blocks down Cass Street the entire time. I got a workout many times for running after the ball instead of actually playing ball. So often I'd find myself at the park instead because I didn't want to do that. But one of the things I did, because I grew up in the 80s, is I wanted to be like Larry Bird. A white guy. He could actually jump. Go figure, right? He could actually shoot the ball. I mean, many of us understand, especially those of us who grew up here, Larry Bird was an assassin on the court. And when you hear stories about him, it's probably good that I didn't know these stories before. Because to emulate Larry Bird is not something I really want to do now. Not how he was then, right? And the reality is what I wanted to emulate was his gift of shooting the ball. Of making that basket. And all of us kids at that age, we all dreamed about it. I even had the green Larry Bird Converse sneakers. I mean, that's how big I was on this. But the reality is I was never going to get there. I was never going to be that good. I was never that talented. It was not a gift given to me in this life. You know, it's good to have the desire to want to be more. It's good to desire things that you can do better in. I mean, I think some of us would desire to have a better gift in music or a better ability to sing. Or for me, I'm good at stick figures when drawing. I don't know about you. I can't draw worth anything. I can't write a sonnet like some people can, or a poem like others. There's a lot of things I cannot do. You can improve yourself maybe with a lot of hard work, but when it comes to a gift, it's something God gives. And it's your call to nurture that gift. I would love to have the gift of healing. I really would. Not for my own abilities or my own acknowledgments, but how cool would it be to walk into a hospital and go, you're healed. Why am I healed? Because Jesus heals you. You're healed. I'd love to be able to go in and do those things and say, this is because Jesus wants you to be his. But I'm not given that gift. I desire a gift like that, but I'm not given the gift. We're to desire these gifts, but not for our own personal benefits, our own personal goals, or our own ideals. No, we're given the gifts because they're to use for God's glory, the magnification of our Savior. Desire those gifts for that reason. I guarantee you, you start asking God to work in you, be ready. Be ready. You may be the next person up here preaching. Scary, ain't it? Well, as we look at this list of gifts that are given, let's look at, so lastly, the gifts of God. Here's a beautiful thing. They're irrevocable. They're irrevocable. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. That means they're not taken from you. However, there's one thing we do know, that if you allow the world to encroach upon you, to choke you out, to cause problems in your life, if you become more worldly minded instead of heavenly minded, you're not necessarily going to lose the gift, but it will become ineffective. It might seem like you've lost the gift because you put yourself in checkmate desiring the world. But the reality is we're given the gift and a calling from God. These cannot be taken from us. They will not be removed from us. But often what we find is by our own sin, our own actions, our own desires, we take ourselves out of position sometimes, don't we? We might remove ourselves. These gifts are given to us because these are the things that God wants us to use, our Father wants us to use, to magnify the Son for what he accomplished on the cross, that gift he gave to us so many years ago. You don't want to bring them back either. You know, often what you find in an average department store after Christmas is what? Long lines. Why are those long lines there at the Walmart, at Target, at everywhere else? Why are they there? Well, here it is. One, it's a duplicated gift. A lot of people get the same kind of gift during Christmas. The second, the gift that was given didn't fit. How many had a sweater given to them that didn't just fit? I remember my grandma used to give me sweaters. They never fit. She always misjudged my size. How many returned a gift because, you just didn't want it? Could be. Or maybe you just wanted something better than you were given. Well, let me put God's gifts this way. When it comes to the gifts of God, you will never see someone standing at a customer service line returning his gifts. His gifts can never be duplicated. His gifts always will fit you perfectly. And his gifts are always warmly received and wanted by his followers. And there is nothing better than the gift that God gives you. They're for you to use for his kingdom and for his glory. When you think about Christmas, it's coming. Every year, it's the same time. It seems to get quicker every year, doesn't it? I mean, even though we had a long time between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, and we still have several weeks to go, it just seems like it's rolling downhill fast, doesn't it? Gaining momentum. It's like Christmas is going to be here before you know it. 3 weeks from tomorrow. Do you recognize the various gifts that God has given to you? Well, I have mentioned a few today, but you know what? There are so many more that aren't even on the list that you can find, such as the gift itself of life, the gift of breath, your gift of general health, or even some level of happiness in such a difficult world. We could have the gift of His Word, God's attention. We can add the gift of His love, His grace, His mercy. We could add the gifts of a sunny day, a rainy day, and yes, even a winter day, whether we like it or not. If we could take time and search our hearts and minds, we would find hundreds of more gifts that can be added to the list that God has provided for us. The real question is are we going to practice that eyes to see mentality? Do you see them? Do you acknowledge them? Do you embrace them? Because God's given them to you. You have plenty. It's a matter of finding appreciation and thankfulness for it. I hope and pray that as Christmas draws closer, that you and I will earnestly desire the greater gifts from God, over and above what the world could ever give to us. Because really, the world will offer us everything, but in the end, give us nothing. But God offers us everything. And are we ready to take it? Are we ready to receive it? Because God's gifts, make no mistake about it, they're always perfect for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. And as we look at this year of Christmas that's coming, we recognize, Lord, that we can easily get trapped into so many things. Let us not get caught up in the hoopla and commercialization of Christmas, but instead carry within our hearts the happy and joyful tune of you everywhere we go. That we would just magnify your name, that we would give you as a gift to others, that they may know you as Lord and Savior as we do. Lord, may you bless us and be with us, lift us high, and help us to glorify you in all that we do. In your name, Jesus, amen.